This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Well, apparently we blew past the forecast high because it's currently 57 degrees. No, it's 57 outside.
Oh, outside, okay.
And I was actually outside for about 6 minutes and managed to run an errand downtown and get back in here with 2 minutes to spare.
You know, you're just an unbelievable guy. I can't say anything else.
I'm just on kind of a crazy schedule today, and I had to pick up, make sure I could do that, because right after we're done here and I get the podcast posted, I've got another meeting about 4 minutes later across town.
Well, good.
I'm glad. Everybody, please stay off Northeast Stevens.
No way they will.
Yeah, no, probably not so much at the 5 o'clock hour. So what's now we are. Let's see here.
This is a gardening show.
Oh, no, I know that. It's the 5th. So we're about 16 days away from the official start of spring.
Well, I'll tell you what. Today could have fooled me. It was so nice. It's just amazing.
And, you know, last week we ended up on both Thursday and Friday, or Friday and Saturday, I forget which, setting record high temperatures for the date. Got it 70 or above twice.
Yeah, I know.
Pretty nice.
I had no complaints. 70 is good temperature. I could even approach 80 a little bit, too.
Well, 70 would actually be good for a low.
20.
No. If you have a low of 70 and a high of 85, that would be perfect.
Yeah, okay. You're in Honolulu?
Something like that.
Kauai. Anyway, this is a garden show, and if you have questions and you don't know what to do in a certain part of your yard or something like that, but anything about your lawns, your gardens, your landscape, you can call 673-4464. Kyle will get you right on the line. You can ask your questions. We'll have a discussion, and I will give you the solution, hopefully. So welcome. I hope you're there. I hope you're listening. And while it is, still a little early for planting a vegetable garden, it's not too early to be making a plan for your vegetable garden and seeing what's available and how much space you want to create in your backyard or your front yard, which would be a nice thing for the neighbors to look at all the time. For instance, where in your yard do you get the most sunshine? Sunshine is a real deal there when you're planting little vegetables. So you need it at least half a day of sunshine to have any success. And have you also tested your soil? What kind of soil is it? If the yard is all clay, you need some soil amendments to break up that clay and to till it in. And sand will cut through the clay and loosen it up. And you put a little bit of sand in there, a little bit of fine grind bark mulch or old sawdust that's finely ground, and mix it all together to a depth of, 10 inches, 8 to 10 inches. That way the new plants that you put in are going to have a really nice place to root out, and that's what you want. You want good health right from the very, very beginning. So, and also when you amend that soil, it's going to increase good drainage, and plants will grow better and just be more productive. And clay soil is full of nutrition, because it doesn't drain, so therefore the nutrients stay in that clay, but it doesn't, like I say, drain well. So you have to add some old bark or old sawdust, some sand, and that's going to prevent, if you till it in, that's going to prevent your garden from being overwatered, because the clay soil retains, all the moisture, and overwater kills plants quicker than anything else, even quicker than bugs. So when your soil drains quickly, plants grow faster, and they are also more productive. Your tomatoes are going, wow, thank you, and they're throwing out tomatoes like gangbusters. And, of course, anything else in there is doing really, really well simply because you've done a little extra work and gotten things so they will grow. And if you're a first-time gardener, don't overplant. A lot of times that happens because you go to the plant places, the big box stores or nurseries, something like that, and you see all these little cool, cute plants in little containers, and you go, oh, I'll get 20 of these and 30 of those and 14 of these, and that ought to help me out. And you get home and you plant them in your new garden area, and you're thinking, gosh, that's sure a lot of plants. They're only about a foot apart. And the thing is, some of those plants are going to grow a foot and a half to 2 feet tall and spread even a foot or so. So you want to give them lots of room so there's air circulation around the plant and sun circulation into the plant so it's more productive. And it just when you amend the soil and plant the plants in a way that maximizes the sunlight, your plants are going to grow faster and they're going to be more productive. That's all there is to it. And if you are a first-time gardener, don't, like I say, overplant unless you're going to share your produce with others, like your next-door neighbor or your kids or your grandparents or whatever. And it's something, because first-time gardeners, they want to get a lot of plants in there, and so they plant a variety of vegetables, but you want to make sure that you'll actually eat these vegetables. I wouldn't plant okra, for instance. Eggplant doesn't turn me on either. But I like peppers, I like potatoes, I like tomatoes, I like corn. You know, those are good, stable American foods. There's other things, I don't know where they came from, but they're out there, and there's some people that like them, so that's good. But for the first time, garden, plant a variety of vegetables that you'll actually eat, that you'll actually enjoy. My garden at my house is a raised bed type garden, and it's 30 feet long and about 4 feet wide and probably 3 feet tall. And I filled it with great, great topsoil mix with a little bit of sand and some old bark mulch until that all together. So you can water it, and that water drains right down into the root system, but it doesn't sit in the root system. It continues to drain, so it may look kind of dry on top on a sunny day, but if you put your finger down in there a couple 3 inches, it's still moist. It still looks good because it does, not only does it drain well, but it does retain a certain percentage of that water that you that's put in there. And with my garden being as large as it is, I grow, my wife grows, and we put in our favorite things. I like green peppers, I like red peppers, I like tomatoes, and that's where I'm going. I tried corn the very first time, and I put it in one corner of it, but it didn't do so hot, and to this day I haven't been able to figure it out. It was almost anemic the whole time it was in there. It came up green and it grew really fast for, oh gosh, about a month, and topped out at about 3.5 to 4 feet, and that was it. And I thought, gosh, what's wrong with this? It tasseled out, but it didn't really produce any corn on the cob. Like, that's what I wanted, some corn on the cob. So I just gave it up and went to Brosai and got my corn on the cob from Mr. Brosai. He only has, you know, bins filled with that stuff. So, but, we had enough for our whole family, and with no surplus that was wasted. And that's the thing. If you're a first-timer, you think, well, I need 10 of these and 10 of those and 14 of these and 6 of these. And the next thing you know, you've got all these vegetables coming on like gangbusters, and you can't possibly eat them all. And you invite people over to eat, and they say, oh, you're a vegetarian? No, we just have a lot of vegetables. We wanted to share them with you. But that's a pain. Rather than put way too many in, put different types of vegetables in that you, there's, oh gosh, a half a dozen or more types of tomatoes, from little tiny miniatures to big giant jumbo tomatoes. They all do well. And there's a little bit of variety there. Cucumbers, you know, things like that. The stuff that's going to be tasty but not take up a lot of room, and you don't have to put a whole lot of them in there if they've got room to grow. And my garden, like I say, is 30 by 4, and that's you can reach all the way across the box pretty near, and you get on the other side of the box because I have access all the way around, and you don't have to get down on the ground, you don't have to get on your knees, you don't have to pull a whole bunch of weeds with a chainsaw, because in this soil that I put in, the weeds come out very easily. You just give them a little slight tug and bingo, they're out, they're gone. And family, our whole family has really no surplus, and that's a good thing. You don't want a surplus unless you have some people to give it away. But then the people that I know all grow gardens, and consequently they have a surplus as well. So there's sometimes you know, too much of a good thing can be a hassle. So after you gain experience in how much to plant and not be wasted, your gardening will be a lot easier and will take less time to take care of. It's got only so many plants and so much room, and easy to, if you go up there every day, which my wife does, and if there's a few weeds coming up, she pulls them. If I'm up there, I see a few weeds coming up, I pull them. And then if a plant in the soil, sometimes my tomato plants have a tendency to lean over, so I stake them up with some little stakes and some string, and that keeps them straight and keeps the tomatoes, you know, up in the air so they don't sit on the ground and rot or anything like that.
Now, do you have a favorite vegetable to grow?
Oh, golly. You know, over the years, my wife has trained me to like them all. I like tomatoes. I mean, we have tomatoes every... We're still eating tomatoes, for crying out loud. But potatoes are probably my favorite because you can make French fries. You know, and that's a good health food, French fries.
Maybe.
There's a debate coming on here, I can tell. But lots of onions, potatoes, green peppers. And like I say, I just do a few tomato plants nowadays. And in fact, I only planted 6 tomato plants, and we had shopping bags filled with tomatoes that I gave away. That's when I'd bring them to my nursery when I owned Wintergreen, and any customers that came in, I'd all say, would you like some tomatoes with that? And everybody went, wow, look at that. Yeah, how many can I have? Take as many as you want. Just don't waste them. And, you know, most folks were very conservative, and they took 3 or 4 nice tomatoes, and wow, they were all smiles and thank you very much, and they'd come back in about another month to buy some more plants and stuff, and they said, oh, those tomatoes are delicious. I said, yeah, I know. they're really good.
So if you are growing potatoes, is there a special variety where they come out as fries?
Yeah, then you dig them up and they're automatically cut into fry size, and you just dip them in the hot oil and cook them. No, Kyle.
Well, see, I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody who makes fries themselves.
Why not?
Because you go to restaurants or you get the frozen ones.
Yeah, but homemade, homegrown French fries are the best in the world.
See, I've never experienced a homemade French fries.
Do you guys eat potatoes at your house?
A little bit, but I mean, fries are not in my diet anymore.
Oh.
My wife has them once in a while, but they come with other things that we purchase along the way. So,
well, you don't only have to eat 500 pounds of fries at a time. You can eat, you know, 10 or 20 and be good. You're okay. You're pressing buttons.
Because we have a caller for the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. What's your comment or question?
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys know anybody that can prune kiwi.
Prune kiwi?
Yep.
Yeah.
Need to be pruned up.
Well, just how large are these kiwi? How tall are they? How big are they? Did we lose them?
No.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, well, how large are these kiwi? The bush.
They're 6 years old. They stand 7-8 feet tall if you stretched them out.
Ah, I see. So how do you want to prune them? What do you want to do to them? What's your end result going to be?
Well, they don't put on no fruit right now, so I just want to get them pruned up because maybe that's what the problem is.
Okay, well, what you would do if they're, what did you say, 6 feet tall?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, prune them down to about 5 feet tall and then thin out, you know, the branches are probably pretty thick. Thin out the little tiny skinny branches so that you have air circulation and sun circulation throughout the plant. And I think that would help the plants. And in the future, prune them each year and keep them shorter. Don't let them go all to high growth or anything like that. And I think you'll see some produce coming from them.
Okay. Now, would that be the same with the female and the male plant? Trim it back too?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Are they
okay? Well, hey, thanks.
Are they close together? Why is he fading out like that? Are you still there?
They're about 7 feet apart.
Well, that's good. That's fine. And, the bees will take care of all the pollinization and cross-pollinization for you.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for your time.
You're sure welcome. Thank you for the call.
All right. Back with more in a moment. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, 422 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Where the phone number 673-4464. Colin, with your comment or question for the Commissioner of Dirt.
Of Dirt. You know, he hung that on me 20 years ago, and I don't know why. I mean, he was. I usually take a shower before I come in for crying out loud. But anyway, one vegetable that I plant a lot of are potatoes because they're so versatile. You can use them in so many different ways, and they're a good, healthy food. And they're very easy to grow, and they produce a lot of great French fries. I was just telling Kyle about my French fries. And they're easily stored for months if you have 50 pounds of potatoes that you grew in your garden, and you can only eat, you know, a pound at a time or 2 pounds at a time for whatever kind of meal you're cooking. You can put the rest of them in a dark closet and with some air circulation, and they'll be okay. They won't grow roots or anything like that, and they'll be good for months. And it just depends on how much potato that you eat as a family or as an individual. But it's a good one. And like I say, they're easily stored for months, so you don't have to harvest them all on the same day even. You can leave some of them in the ground, and I have just to test it and do an experiment and, you know, harvest some when they're ready to be harvested and then leave the rest of them in the ground for a while, a month, maybe 2 months, and then they're still good as long as it we don't have 6 inches of rain and 4 feet of snow on top of them, which that's not usually the case here in Roseburg. But when you're planting, you want to leave space between the plants and don't crowd them up, not too close. They need that air to circulate around, and keep weeds to zero. Do not overwater or fertilize or over-fertilize any of your material. You can give them some vegetable fertilizer, but go very light. You can always add more in a month if you haven't seen a response, or if you've seen a little bit of response, but you want more, you want to make them really healthy, you give them, go a month and then spread some around the bottom of the plant. Don't dig down into the surface where the roots are. Just put them on top, and as you water, that fertilizer will gently go down and seep into that root system, and the roots will pick it up, and you'll see the production of your plants increase at least twofold. And Like I say, planting, when you're planting, leave space. And when I say space, I mean if you've got a tomato plant, don't put the next tomato plant a foot away from it. Give it 3 feet. Give it 3 foot on center. And you can plant five different tomato plants in 15 feet of space and in your garden. And they'll do really well, and they'll be very productive. And anything that's too close is going to be, they're going to be competing with the nutrition and with the water, with sunlight and all that. So they're not going to be as productive as you would think. And keep weeds, like I say, to a zero. You don't want to have any of those weeds sucking up your fertilizer or your water, and you don't want them in competition with your vegetables. And since we mix a lot of organic material into our native soil, we need very little commercial fertilizer. So, like I said, go light on the fertilizer. And after a few gardens, you'll be able to more accurately water and fertilize because you've learned a few lessons simply by, oh, gosh, I guess I overwatered that plant. The leaves turned yellow and all dropped off. Yeah, that's a good indicator. If it needs water, the leaves will just kind of droop. And if they're drooping and they're not standing out straight like they should be, that's when you say, well, I got to give this thing a little bit of extra water. And you do that, and within 24 to 36 hours, it's refurbished. It's back. It's doing its thing. So you just have to get used to your soil and get used to the amount of water that you put on, and, as well as the fertilizer for best accuracy. And after you've done, if you've never done a vegetable garden before, the first year might be a little tough and your success may be limited, but you can learn from that. And the second year gets better, and the third year you're a master gardener, for crying out loud, and you've got more food than you know what to do with, so you start giving it out to your neighbors and they're going, hey, we don't want any, we got our own garden, leave us alone. But not many people refuse food. So water and fertilizer keys. And like I say, either one will do damage to your garden if you overdo the food and the water. It just doesn't work that way. And keep in mind that you can always add more water. You can always add more fertilizer if you need it. Just don't overdo it, because once it's in there, you can't take it out. And you got to go light. And the reason I know that, I speak from experience in having over-fertilized or over-watered some of my earlier gardens in my life. And back when I was a preteen, I'd help my parents plant, and we would do a garden together. And one of my jobs was to be the water guy. And sometimes I underwatered and sometimes I overwatered, and eventually I finally got it straight after my mother scolded me and said, hey, Bubba, get this right. On my first garden, I gave about twice as much fertilizer that was needed, and I lost most of that garden because I thought it would grow faster. On me, I'll tell you what. And like I say, that fertilizer is strong, it's commercial, and even if it's a slow-release fertilizer, it's still, if there's too much there, too much is slowly released into the plant. And consequently, if it doesn't kill the plant, it'll grow the plant really well, but it won't set fruit. It won't set tomatoes or cucumbers or whatever you're trying to grow in there. And this is especially true when growing your vegetables in pots on the patio. Many people don't want to do the work or don't have the room to do the work to put a garden in the ground in the backyard. So they put them on pots on the patio, which is a good thing. But again, that's what you have to watch out for, is overwater or over fertilizer, especially in a pot, because there's not that much room for that root system to expand and escape from the fertilizer that you did. But be frugal on your application, and you're good to go. And when you're buying the fertilizer, make sure it is for vegetables and not for pastures. Pasture grass fertilizer is a high nitrogen, really gets the grass growing, so the cows and the horses or whoever you got out there, sheep, will have some good green grass and not run out. Well, that's not what you want on a garden. You just want to have enough for it to be healthy and to be strong and to grow vegetables for you. Watering, of course, is always critical, and you want to always test your soil moisture simply by sticking your finger into the soil around the plant, and if it's damp, it's okay. Don't sweat the program. If it's bone dry, then you give it a good soak. Well, that good soak might last it a week or 10 days, but once you get to know your soil, you'll be able to do a proper watering schedule to maximize your production. It's simple. But remember, just test it first. Just you don't have to dig up the plant and look at it. You just go all the way around it or in several locations in your garden area, and just stick your finger in there. You should be able to feel the moisture. If you feel the moisture, you're good to go. And like I say, if it's bone dry, give it a good soak. And they may need a good soak maybe once a week. And a few light waterings during the week if it got to, 90 degrees or 95 degrees. And don't water during the heat of the day when the sun is shining on it. Wait till the sun hits its peak and it's on the way down, and then give it a shot of water. Or early in the morning before the heat of the day. You just don't want to do that. And you can't remove too much water. That's the problem. That's what destroys that root system. It rots the roots. The roots are like hair. They're the same diameter as hair. And too much water with not enough oxygen just rots them right off. And when that happens, then the plant starts to go downhill. And when selecting your vegetables, do your research on how much water and fertilizer is best for their maximum growth and their maximum production. There are books, there's lots of books out there, and even the box stores, the co-op, all of them say, well, this is what you do and this is how you do it. And they'll have pictures and drawings of how to lay the garden out or what goes where and how much you should do this and how much you do that. And the books are like, $4.95, $5.95, and there's just a lot of information in there. And it's worthwhile. And planting, like I said, too close is not a good idea. Plants cannot develop fully if they're crowded. Space is needed, and for best growth, you need to spread them out a little bit, and you don't want to make a hedge out of anything. You'll get some tomatoes or some of whatever, green beans or anything like that. But if this is your first vegetable garden, be conservative on numbers and spacing. And if later in the season you have lots of space, you can plant to fill in the spaces in the holes, because our Septembers and Octobers here are still fairly good growing seasons. So if you start your garden in June or the end of May and everything is looking good and growing, you can count on that continuing into September easily. And it just depends on the weather. But in my experience, the weather for the last 20 or 30 years has been perfect for gardening in September. We're going to take another break.
We are back in a moment. 436 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, the Commissioner of Dirt, available to speak with you at 673-4464.
And any question is fair game. It doesn't have to be on gardens. It can be on pruning. It can be on how do I fix my lawn or how do I install my lawn. Any question that you have on your landscape is fair game. So right now I'm talking about gardens and planting and that type of stuff. But another trick in planting a garden is to space your planting time. In other words, don't plant everything the same day so that you can have produce in July and then later in the season and have produce clear into the fall. We often have, you know, great weather into October, so that if you plant some in May and then wait a month and plant something else, more tomatoes or whatever, in June, and maybe do another batch in July, you're going to have more food and spaced out, so it doesn't all ripen the same day, and you have to go out there and you come in with 100 pounds of tomatoes or peppers or something like that. It's hard to store those dudes, no matter what you do. And when planting like a vegetable garden, add flowers to the garden. Flowers are good. They'll attract more pollinating insects and as a result, you'll get more produce. The more color you have, the honeybees will come and other little flying critters, and it'll go from flower to flower to flower to flower. And they'll also pollinate some of your garden plants that also flower. And if you're a first-time gardener, stay small and don't crowd the garden, like I say, with too many plants. As it grows, you'll see more space, and you can fill that space with more vegetables or more flowers. And some years, our fall weather, like I said earlier, is warm, and you can plant a fall garden as well. I've seen it done. I have done it myself in some plants just to see how well that worked. And if you're a first-time gardener with no experience, try container gardening. It's simple. And learn how the veggies grow. And it's not a big money thing to do or a big labor thing to do. You get, you know, half a dozen pots or half whiskey barrels or whatever they're called nowadays. Fill them with good soil and plant whatever you like in there and make sure they've got some space to grow. And you can regulate it very easily because it's so well contained. And you put them on the patio or just in the backyard somewhere, anywhere where you've got some good sunlight. And the containers, you can actually grow, you know, like in a 5-gallon plant container, you can grow a couple of tomatoes or a couple of something else's or carrots or whatever. Try and see what works for you, and just add, like I say, good soil and plant the pots. And it's easier, like I say, than digging up half of your yard and all the labor and equipment you're going to have to do. But plants in the pots are just less labor intensive all the way around. And you'll learn with less labor and experience in a good sized pot. Like I said, you could easily grow 3 tomatoes, 3 pepper plants, and some strawberries, and at least 1 potato, and that's a lot less labor, and you can really have a really showpiece garden when your neighbors come over or your family comes over and say, here's my garden, and you've got all these things growing in these nice, you know, half what are they, whiskey barrels or the wooden barrels around?
Or maybe wine barrels.
Wine barrels, yeah, something like that. And they last forever. they're treated and they last forever, so you're good to go. And like I say, if you're successful and you learn from these things, you can add more containers, you know, for the next year. Also, less weeds to pick. You don't want to have to be watering weeds and fertilizing weeds just because you have some tomatoes or peppers stuck in there or some carrots or something like that. So each year that you plant your garden, you have more experience and better success. That's all there is to it. So don't give up if it's your first garden doesn't kind of turn out as you thought it would. So here it is. Pick a, and I'll say it again, pick a sunny spot in your yard where you get at least 3/4 of a day of sunshine, and remove, like I say, any grass, weeds, that kind of thing. And it's then till up that space, and at least do it twice. The first tilling will still have chunks of soil in it, so you till it once and it's just broken ground. Let the air hit it, let the sunlight hit it, and in a few days it's dry enough to you can re-till and really do a good job the second time around. And then when you've done that, it's ready to plant. If you can stick your hand in the soil and there's no real resistance resistance for, say, 6 inches or 7 inches, you're ready to go. You can plant anything in there, and it's gonna do well for you. So, and then you can add some compost material and mix it in with your rake or something like that. And then go shopping for veggie plants, you know, and do it fairly soon so there's a good selection. And you plant them, water them lightly, keep them weed free, don't overwater them, and you're going to be eating veggies as soon as possible. And if this is your first vegetable garden, you'll learn a lot, and next year you'll even do much, much better, because that first year, if you've never done it, that's when all the mistakes that happen. Now, even though I was raised on different ranches and we always had a garden, my parents did most of the work. I was like the guy that brought the soil in and carried stuff around, and I observed them, and that was okay. But it's something else to do your own garden. It's something else. You'll just have to learn as you go, or get one of your neighbors who lives down the street from you, who has this magnificent garden every year, and say, "Hey, Joe, can you come down and help me and give me some guidance?" And any gardener is glad to go give somebody else guidance and put them in the right direction and tell them basically what I'm telling you here on the radio.
So, what do you do with carrots? How do you grow those?
Well, the easiest way to grow carrots would be in a big round half a wine barrel with good soil, because they grow underground. That's where they grow, and when they're and it's got nice loose soil, so that carrot will be large. It will be ready to go in, I don't know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, something like that, and it's easy to do. And you can do it in the ground, but if it's hard clay, you got to mix a lot of compost material, some sand, and some topsoil in there, so that there's no real resistance to the vegetable actually forming under the ground.
So now, are you starting out with like a start or a seed or what?
Well, usually carrots, I don't know, I haven't seen personally carrot starts, with the seed. And they're a fast grower. And but, you know, as you go around to all the box stores that have all their vegetables out now, you can see there may be some carrots that are in the little pots already growing. And that's the easiest way, because you got something to work with right off the bat.
What about corn?
Corn, same thing. Corn grows fast, and if you do it by seed, you put it in the ground, and within 3 to 5 days, the corn shoot is coming up, and before you know it, they're 8 feet tall and got corn cobs sticking all over them.
Now, are you able to grow diced corn?
Who?
So that, because like my wife doesn't like it on the cob.
Oh, she doesn't.
So can you just get it off the cob?
Well, yeah, you got these scraper things.
No, I mean, will it grow that way?
No. Where are you from, buddy?
Oh, I knew that, but...
Oh, you were just kind of playing around here, huh?
That's sort of like the reality of, as kids learn where food comes from, sometimes those questions come up.
Well, yeah, that's true, but not usually from 50-year-old adults. That's, you know, something that's new to me. Okay, gardening, it's fun. And, you know, once you get your first year of gardening done and you're halfway successful, yeah, you might have a few plants that don't do a good job for you. But if you're halfway successful, you have learned a lot. And the second time you do your garden the following year, you're going to be a whole lot smarter and maybe make your soil better in some way by more diverse vegetables and try different types of things in growing. And each year, it just gets better. And, you know, we're surrounded here in Douglas County with our farmers. You know, you got Cruz Farms, and we used to have a big farm across from us at the nursery, and they'd get out there with their giant tractors and go through and plow up that ground, because they're looking at 50, 60 acres at a shot. And then they go down with their planting their seeds and stuff like this, and before you know it, there's 50 acres of corn across the street from you, and they got a fruit stand, and you can go and get the fresh picked corn right there, and it's delicious. It's so good. We'll be back.
All right. at 4:50 at News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Minutes away from the afternoon report at 5 o'clock. Still time to call, but call quickly, 673-4464.
Yeah, we'll get you right on. You ask your question, I'll give you the answer. It's simple as that. So anyway, here's the bottom line. Pick a sunny spot for your garden in your yard. I mean, remove any grass or weeds or any of that that's going to compete with the garden. And till the space, rototill it at least twice. And the first tilling will still have some chunks of soil. Those soil, you let it dry out for a couple of days in the sun, and then you retill it, and it's ready to go. Just let it dry out for a bit. And then you retill, like I say, to a depth of at least 6 inches or deeper if possible. And then stick your hand in the soil and to check the depth and to check the consistency of the soil. Are there any large chunks or are there any rocks? You just pull them out by hand. And then you can add some compost material and mix it in. Then number 8, go shopping for vegetable plants fairly soon, because when they get out there, people swarm in there to the whatever Kmart or Bi-Mart or any of these places, and they're in there, they're buying up all they can. And then get them all planted, water lightly, and keep it weed free. Just don't overwater, as I've repeated 150 times on this show. And then eat your veggies as soon as possible, and they'll be up. You'll be amazed. And if this is your first vegetable garden, you're going to learn a lot, and next year you're going to do a whole lot better job. And don't be afraid to get a book or two and read about things and see what other vegetables are available for our first year. And remember, only plant those veggies in your first garden that you'll actually eat. You know, some kind of a foreign vegetable that they grow in Timbuktu and you've never heard of it, avoid that, because you may not like it and it may just take up a lot of space that's not necessary. And plant those that are easy to grow the first time around. You know, when you've planted a few gardens, you get better at the whole process. It's really that simple.
Now, can you grow bananas around here?
No. Indoors.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they need heat. They need sun. So if you have a glass greenhouse that's 10 feet tall or whatever. Now, there's one guy I know had a banana tree out in Green. And it grew, but then the frost got it, and it died to the ground. And then the root came back up. And I don't know. It was probably 10 years ago when I saw his banana tree.
So if you did it indoors, you'd have to do it like at the garage or something?
Yeah, not in the garage. Maybe in a big, you know, in the living room where you got a tall ceiling or something like that. I don't know. I've never grown a banana tree in the house. That's my guess.
I think I would be in trouble for that.
Yeah, well, try it out and see what happens.
Oh, boy.
And then you'll say, well, honey, it'll only grow 5 feet. It's a dwarf banana. And I'm sure there are dwarf bananas. But, you know, gardening is fun. It's relaxing. And, you know, you just feel good when you've produced your own food. It's something that it's an art that most of America has lost out on, it seems like, in the last 20 years or whatever. There, back in the olden days, everybody seemed to have a garden. And like I said, growing up as a kid, my mom and dad were out there making a garden in every place that we lived. And I got to help, it was fun. We were eating our vegetables that we grew. And you're going to be visited by some garden pests. And one of the most frequent visitors to our gardens or to our yards are slugs. Slugs are slimy little thick little things, and they love newly planted gardens, and they're easy to spot and they're easy to kill. And without any spraying, you don't have to spray them, just pick them off and throw them out somewhere. They're not going to make it back this year, don't worry about it. But wear some rubber gloves and pick them off your plants. Otherwise, they devour the plant, and the plant, not the whole plant, but they eat most of the good leaves, and then they go to the next plant so they can eat their leaves. So check it. If you're a gardener, you're going to be out there every day looking at it. You know, what's coming up? Are there any slugs? Anything eating my garden? What do I do? But, you know, we've got plenty of gardeners here in Douglas County. They can do that. But the slugs are the worst part of the worst. I mean, they just get in there. Where they come from, I have no idea, but they show up. And then snails are also a pain in the back as well. Pick them off and then throw them in the trash. I mean, get rid of those puppies. You don't want them around. And slugs and snails, like I say, rank as the West's worst garden pests. They hide by day and they feed at night. So you catch them at sunrise or sunset, and you can get rid of them. And you can't get rid of them. You can cut down on the numbers of them, because there's always more slugs, it seems. But you can't eliminate them if you don't get rid of them all. They'd eat your whole garden and everything else. So it's amazing what they'll do. But white flies are another critter that loves our plants. It's a little tiny white fly. You can spray for it and not hurt your plants, but they're a real pain, and they'll do some damage. They'll just nibble on everything. And the safest way to remove them is, like I say, to spray them with a high-pressure water hose when you see them on your plants. You're just knocking them off and knocking them to the ground and damaging them with the high-pressure hose. That's it. There's no poison. It's just getting rid of them physically. And there are many insecticides on the market, but it's up to the homeowner whether to use them or not. And they see a lot of bugs on our plants. We use a nozzle with high pressure water and keep the damage to the minimum. So that's the way it is. Thanks for listening. I hope you learned something. I hope I did everything right for you.
All right. Podcast will be up in just a few minutes. 541radio.com. Every Wednesday at 4, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQAM.